Joshua chapter 24. This is the last chapter in the book. And it is, again, Joshua wrapping things up, putting things in order, reminding folks of what they need to remember, and saying farewell. So Joshua chapter 24. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Not long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried out to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. And he brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our forefathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled, and the Lord drove out before us the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord, because he is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he's been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he drew up for them decrees and laws. Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance, at Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. And Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. And Eliezer, son of Aaron, died and was buried at Gibeah, which had been allotted to his son Phinehas in the hill country of Ephraim. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Okay, most famous verse from this chapter. Most famous verse. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That's the verse. That is the most famous verse from this chapter. I've got it as a plaque on the wall of my house. Somebody gave it to us, and I thought it was very nice, and so did my wife, and we put it up. It's in our living room. It's very nice. It's a great verse. Second unto it and joined to it is the preface to it, and that is, choose you this day whom you will serve. Unfortunately, most people miss the context of the preface. Because it's, every time I've heard anybody else preach it, it's always choose whether or not you're going to serve the Lord. That's not what he said when he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. What he said is, I don't think you're really going to serve God. If you're not going to serve God, then you need to choose this day whom you will serve. The point of the choose this day whom you will serve part is to say you better look at what the competition for God is. Because if you're not going to serve the God who is God, you are left with a bunch of cruddy choices. If you don't want to serve the God who is God, you will always end up serving something less than God as God. So I don't want to serve any of those things. Well, you will. You will. If you're not going to serve the Lord who is God, you will let pleasure, financial security, popularity, any number of other things become the number one value in your life. And you're going to live for that. What's it going to be? If you're not going to serve God, then what are you going to serve as God? What are you going to put in his place? What kind of idolatry are you into? Tragically, one of my nieces a while back wrote, expressing her universalist views and saying, I could never serve a God who wasn't going to end up reconciling everybody. Well, there's a term for a person who says, the God of the Bible, who says some people go to hell. I could never serve a God like that. That person's a universalist. They're also an idolater. Because what they're saying is, I don't like this God, I'm going to worship this God over here. A God that they have imagined because they didn't like the God who is God. To say, I could never serve a God who, and then say something from Scripture, that's problematic. You understand how that's problematic? And yet I've known people who call themselves evangelicals and yet make such statements. Which niece was it? Lots of nieces and nephews in the family, believe me. Two sides to the family, multiple folks. Don't try and figure it out. Just pray that whoever that is will come to her senses and come to the Lord. But I want you to understand something. There are people who want to say that they will follow the Lord, but they don't want to give up those other idols. And that's what was going on here. Twice in this chapter, Joshua says, you need to get rid of the gods who you've been bringing with you all this time. I mean, does it startle you that after all the stuff these people had been through, they still had their other idols? They carried them around with them from generation to generation. Here they still had idols from back before they'd crossed the river. From back before they'd crossed the Red Sea. From back when their ancestors lived in Iraq. It wasn't called Iraq back then. But when they lived over in that area, they worshipped those gods. When they were down in Egypt, they worshipped those gods. As they came into the Promised Land, there were people there who worshipped other gods. And they were just kind of picking up stuff along the way. You know, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's interesting. I remember some turkey when I was a kid, trying to sound British, I suppose, saying, by Jove! Where does that come from? That's just an old British expression. No, it's an example of British paganism, of people in Britain who wanted to invoke the name of a pagan deity. Oh, well, they didn't mean it. Well, then why'd they say it? Well, surely you don't mean that they really meant it. Well, let me tell you, we're going to give an account for every idle word. And God specifically told his people, you're not to invoke the names of other gods. Well, I didn't really mean it. I had a precious grandmother who used to love to read the horoscope. You know, well, horoscope. I don't really, it's not like I base my whole day on what I read in the newspaper. You know what God says about astrology? People who try and look to the stars in order to figure out the future. God says, we're not supposed to have anything to do with that. Not supposed to have anything to do with that. What about fortune telling? We got fortune tellers here in Sevier County and over in Blount County. And, you know, I'd just be curious as to what they'd say. Why? Do you ever go diving in the septic tank to see what you might find? Who knows what might have gone down the drain? Well, I can tell you some stuff that's gone down the drain and you don't want to get around it. You understand? God says, stay away from those things. But what people today want is the same as what people wanted back in Joshua's day. We will serve the Lord, but we don't want to give up our other gods. We will trust in God. We will serve him. We know we've seen the great things God has done. Let me tell you, if I saw God do the stuff that they saw God do, and I still had an idol in my back seat, I think I'd want to get rid of it. Especially if the God who caused the walls of Jericho to fall and who caused Achan to be executed because of disobedience said, I don't want you to have any other gods. I think I'd probably get rid of mine. Wouldn't you? I mean, it just seems like a smart idea. But this passage is a warning to us that we can be a lot like these folks. And it's not until God points it out and zeroes in on it in our lives that we say, oh, that old thing? Why, that's been in my family for generations. Like addiction, immorality, lying, being a rageaholic. What's a rageaholic? That's a person who, just like some people get drunk, this person just gets mad. And they are addicted to getting mad. And they blow up explosively. And it runs in some families, and people grow up thinking that's normal, and it's not okay. You understand? It's not okay. But we have these idols that have been passed down. We have things that are an abomination to God. We have things that we treasure. They make us feel like we're part of the family, that we belong, that We're connected to our past. You know what I want? The future that God has planned for me. I'd just soon leave my past behind. Because Jesus had to die in order to set me free from what I deserved. And so I want to live for Him. So when these people start talking about, oh, we will serve the Lord, Joshua doesn't say, good, I'm glad to hear it. Joshua says, I don't think so. You say you're going to serve the Lord, but I don't think so. You don't understand that if you are going to serve the Lord, you have to serve the Lord exclusively. You say, well, now this is really kind of harsh. This is Old Testament. Pastor, I wish you'd just get over into the New Testament and, you know, because I like that a whole lot better. Okay. Let's go New Testament for a minute. Lord, I will follow you, but first, let me go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Ouch. That doesn't seem very nice. Well, I'm not going to preach a whole sermon on that this morning. What I want you to understand is Jesus said some very painful things to people who couldn't understand what in the world he was talking about, because he made it sound as if you want to follow me, it will cost you everything. That's what Jesus said. You got to hate father and mother, brothers and sisters. You got to hate even your own life. Because whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus said that unless we forsake everything to follow him, we're not really followers. But you see, boy, that's a tough sales pitch. And so the church in our age and the church in our culture has found that it is more appealing to larger numbers of people if we will treat Jesus as simply the dispenser of this wonderful improvement to your life called forgiveness. Okay? Wouldn't it be nice? I'm sure you all have things for which you feel guilty. Jesus offers you forgiveness. Here you go. All you got, just receive forgiveness from Jesus. And you can keep on living the way you've been living. Now, guilt-free. Isn't that great? What a package! Woohoo! It's nowhere offered in Scripture. Forgiveness is something that comes with Jesus. And if you receive Him, you need to know He's Lord. He's Lord. He is Lord. So, back to Joshua chapter 24. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you were living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Again, if you're not going to serve the Lord, look at your options. Look at your options. If you're not going to serve the Lord, what are you going to live for? What are you going to live for? There is nothing else that satisfies. Nothing. Money? How much money does it take? Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. So if you're going to make mammon a god in your life, how much money do you think it'll take to satisfy you? Because you can't serve God and money. You can't. Jesus said you can't. So how much money will it take to make you happy? They asked one of the richest men who's ever lived that question. How much money does it take to make a person happy? You know what his answer was? Just a little bit more. That was a good answer. What was he saying? Money won't make you happy. No matter how much you get, it's never enough. It's never enough. There are people who are devoting their lives day after day, week after week, month after month, to the next high. Everything else is subservient to that. Their marriage, their kids, their job, everything is laid to the side in order to pursue the next high. They're addicted. They've got to get another hit. They've got to get another shot. They've got to get another bottle. They've got to get high again. Destroying themselves, pursuing a chemical high. Does it ever satisfy? No. No. An enormously popular, good-looking, young, rich actor. This week, another one. Found dead in his hotel room. Toxicology report shows that it was a result of what they trust was an accidental overdose of booze and heroin. I couldn't tell you right now what his name was. I read it. It's not a show that I'm watching. A lot of people were. Now what are we going to do? And why would a young man do that? Well, he had addiction problems. He had been in treatment a couple of times. When he'd get out of treatment, he'd go back to his addiction. Cost him his life. Why? Because if you don't serve God as God, you're going to serve something else in the place of God. There's no escaping. There are people who are addicted to sex. They think that sex is what makes life worth living. And I mean, they pursue it. You know, just got news for anybody out there who's maybe thinking that sex is going to do it for you. You're going to get old. You may be the fittest guy in the gym right now. You may be the most beautiful woman by the pool right now. But one of these days, the doctors will have tightened up all the sags as many times as they can, and you will just look hideous. Got it? It's going to happen. Prepare. Love the story about the widower who decided he was lonely and needed to get back in the game. So he went to the gym to work out. He thought, you know, if I'm going to attract somebody to me, I got to look a little better, and so I got to get in shape. Okay. I looked in the mirror this morning and I thought, oh my goodness, I look 3 months pregnant. It's terrible. So I held it back in and thought, I'm not going to eat a half a large pizza at Pizza Hut again. That's what I had last night for dinner, just so you know. I am a sinner, I confess. Just a half, I might as well. Here's what amazes me about food. I'm going to get back to the other story in a second. Here's what amazes me about food. Somehow it is possible to eat 12 ounces of food and gain 5 pounds. I don't understand how that works. It's water, Pastor Wood. You're retaining water from all the sodium. Well, maybe. But I think it's magic. This guy goes to the gym because he's got to get in shape because he wants to get back in the social circuit. He's hoping he can attract somebody to him that he will find attractive. So he goes to the gym and he looks at all the equipment, and he looks at all the other people who are a lot more fit than he is, and he sees some lovely-looking ladies there, and he thinks, wow, I don't want to look like an idiot. So he goes over to the trainer, and he says, tell me, if I want to impress one of the younger women here in the Jim, is there a piece of equipment that you recommend that I use? Which one of the machines do you think would be good for me to use in order to impress one of the young ladies? The trainer looked at him and said, the ATM in the lobby. Your only hope at this point, fella, is they better think you have a lot of money. You understand? It'll happen to you. Trust me. I am so grateful. I am so grateful that my life and my happiness and my peace of mind, my security, my self-image is not wrapped up in a decaying, aging body. You understand? If you do not serve God as God, you will end up serving something less than God as God. Please understand that. So look at your options. What are you going to live for? Food? I know people like that. Okay, I confessed I ate a half a large pizza last night. Stupid. My wife just said, really? About half of her half came home. Okay? She said, I'm going to need a takeout box, and I'm thinking, I can finish mine. Stupid. Why? Well, you know, because leftover pizza is no good. Well, neither is being tub of goo. But anyway, I know that there are people, according to Scripture, whose God is their stomach. That's the description the Apostle Paul gives of some people. They are living for self-gratification, and their form of self-gratification is more food. More food. Get me more. They're living for that, for the pleasure. And you know what? After a while, it just doesn't satisfy. It just can't do it for you. I mean, for a little while, it's comforting. But then after a while, it's like, oh, what happened to me? What happened to my feet? Where are they? Okay? It just doesn't satisfy. You understand? If you're not going to serve God as God, what are you going to serve as God? And the people responded and they said, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Okay? Is that a good response? Well, sort of. But what they're saying is, we're not going to forsake the Lord in order to serve these gods. What they're not saying, but they're really meaning is, we want it both ways. We won't give up serving God. We know He's done great things. And they recite the history of salvation. They're able to tell about what God has done on their behalf. They know that God is God. They know that. But they're saying, we won't forsake Him. And so Joshua says to them, well, then in that case, you need to forsake those other gods. If you're saying you won't forsake the God who is God, then you need to forsake those other idols.
So does that mean if you're a Christian, you can't eat pizza?
No, it means you can't be a glutton. You can't try to satisfy that hunger by overeating, by making it seem that that is where you go for comfort. What do? Prayer or ice cream? What's your answer?
Are you saying we can't have ice cream?
No, I'm saying don't turn to ice cream as if that's going to solve your problems. Because it won't. You understand?
So preachers who really love God can still eat pizza and ice cream.
Well, if you have a half a pizza, you can't have any ice cream. I didn't have any ice cream last night. But I want you to understand, the problem is when we try to hang on to other things as if God is not enough. That's what makes those things idols. Can you give it up? You know, it's possible to be a Christian and drink alcohol. It's just not possible to work at the ranch and drink alcohol. As I've explained on other occasions, so many of our students here at the ranch come from backgrounds where alcohol is a significant problem and where addiction to substance abuse is a serious problem. We have adopted a policy that our staff just absolutely does not drink alcohol, and that's one of the commitments they make when they come to work here. I'm not going to drink. Not because you can't be a Christian and drink alcohol, but because you need to give that up if you're going to do this particular ministry. So, if that is the case, and somebody says, well, I just can't give it up. I just can't give up alcohol. Let me ask you a question. Does that person need to give up alcohol? See, if you can't give it up, you need to give it up. Let me say that one more time. If you can't give it up, you need to give it up. And I would just encourage you, if there's something in your life that you're not sure whether that thing is okay or not. I don't think it's an idol in my life, but I certainly don't want it to be an idol in my life. So what should I do? Well, my counsel is give it up. Certainly don't need it. Don't have to have it. If you've got Jesus, you've got everything you need. Pastor, are you saying, okay, I'm going to give up my house and sleep in the woods, and I'm going to give up my car and walk everywhere, and I'm going to just liquidate all my accounts and give them all away? I wouldn't do that unless God told me to. And he'd have to speak pretty loud. But let me tell you something. The day may come. The day may come when those who are going to follow Jesus Christ in this country are going to lose their houses and their cars and their jobs and their bank accounts. And so you better go ahead and put them on the altar now. Because if that is what you think you've got to have, it's an idol. It's an idol. If you think you've got to have this, Jesus said to his followers, I don't have anywhere to sleep. Jesus was homeless. The creator of the universe was dependent upon the hospitality of other people because he was doing the Father's bidding. And so in his itinerant ministry years, he did not have a home. Well, I just don't think that's a reasonable lifestyle. It wasn't reasonable. It was perfect. It was what the Father called him to. It wasn't based on logic. It was based on obedience. You and I need to understand that obedience is what matters. So, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. That's what Joshua was going for. That's what he wanted of the people. He wasn't trying to get them to not follow God. He was trying to get them to see that if you're going to follow God, you've got to serve him alone. Joshua said, the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said, you're witnesses against yourselves that you've chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. You know what I want you to be able to say? Honestly, we will serve the Lord and obey him. But in order to say that, you need to throw away the other gods. On more than one occasion in my life, God has convicted me of something that I needed to get rid of. I didn't like it. Then I just had to stop and think, how does this compare to God? There's no contest. No contest at all.